Hey, this is Anders, and you're listening to TCR.
Okay, so let's start.
Hello. Hello and welcome to another edition of The Center Ring, aka TCR, aka your favorite esports podcast. Episode 135, coming to you live, pre-recorded from an undisclosed location. The date, December 17th. Just about a week before the big one. Before my best friend's birthday. Jesus Christ. The time, 8:46 p.m. Central Standard Time. Hello. We have possibly the best episode ever for you today. Lots to get to for CSGO. And that's what we're going to start the show off with. All the latest CSGO rumors, news buzzing about. It's kind of the off-season, if you will. So teams always like to get things started before the holidays. We have kind of a fun segment planned in the middle. A Merry TCR Christmas. We'll go through and tell the esports world what all of us got for Christmas. What we got some of the teams, some of the players for Christmas. So we'll go over that. And a sad one to follow that up with, as HOTS is dead. Blizzard took it out in the back. Said, just keep walking, I'll be right behind you. And screen turned to black. So we're going to talk about the demise of Heroes of the Storm and just how that could happen to your favorite esports just as easy. But before we do that, let's introduce the crew. My name is Tim. I will be one of your hosts for this journey into esports. Hello. Alongside, always, we have the brown one, which is Anuj. Hello, Anuj.
What's up, fellas? How y'all doing?
Is it okay if we say Christmas? I didn't check with you first.
You just have to pronounce it in Arabic for it to make sense.
I just want to be PC on the show. We're a show for everyone, and I just don't want to offend anyone. Happy holidays, Anuj.
Bro, I had lights on my house like a month ago.
You're a double dipper. You're a double dipper for sure.
I went up on the roof and did it myself.
No, you're a double dipper. It's okay.
For sure.
Oh, guys, I can't do the show today. It's one of the 110 Indian gods' birthday today, so gotta take this week off. Oh, Jesus. What's up? What's up,
bro? You fit right into the rotation. Let's go.
Come on in.
Join the family.
And that other voice you heard will be Brett. Hello, Brett.
Hello, guys. I also have Christmas lights, as long as we're on the topic of humble brags, but I pay somebody to do mine.
I don't make that kind of money, man. Wife throws me on the roof.
I can't risk it. I always feel like I'm one just accident away from death.
I don't do lights at all. So, and that's just mainly because...
Way to participate.
Atheist upbringing.
I have a Christmas tree, but, you know, the sanctity of religion and the U.S. government...
Get out.
I can't pretend like I even care enough to start that conversation. No, I have a Christmas tree. I'm just, you know, it is what it is. We will start off the show by pimping out our social media. At The Center Ring is our Twitter. Our website, tcr.gg, has all of our other social outlets on there. Very poorly updated Instagram, our YouTube, Discord, everything on there that you, I guess, would want to follow us on. So appreciate that. If you're listening on iTunes or any other podcast app and it gives you an option to leave a review, we always kiss the feet of those who review us. So we appreciate that. Before I forget, we will not be here. We will not be here next week. We're going to take next week off. Just with Christmas landing on a Tuesday, it kind of throws the schedule off. It's a weird schedule for everyone. So there you go. It's also Brett's birthday on Christmas.
So
that's not why we're taking off, because we don't care enough about Brett to take off a week for his birthday, but it's also the big man's birthday, so there's that. But let's start off the show, because like I said, there is a lot of CSGO news to get to. This last weekend, you pretty much had the last tournament, at least that mattered, of the year. There might be another one between now and New Year's, but it's not one that we necessarily care about. You had the Blast Pro Series in Lisbon.
Lisbon.
I don't know if I could take any of you serious.
Yeah, I think it's Lisbon, right?
It's Lisbon.
Well, all right. As they wrapped
we'll take
up,
the news's word for it.
This is about the third Blast Pro Series this year, man, and they already announced one for next year. So, hey, ESL and ECS are working together to free up the schedule, and Blast Pro is like, look at all this free time the pros have.
Yeah, I know, right?
Let's use it for more tournaments. So, man. I don't think that's how it's supposed to work, Players Union, Sir Scoots. You might want to. Might want to tighten that one up, but we'll get into that in a second. Astralis ended up beating Na'Vi in the finals. Yeah, Cloud9 getting third. Cloud9, man, they love these Blast Pro series. They love them some Blast Pro.
This was like a great performance by them because they also came in with the stand-in refresh, you know, played in for him, and he had never played in a big win event.
They've had stand-ins since the Boston Major.
They have. It's just the problem is it hasn't been like the same one, right? Like, so you're not even finding consistency within stand-ins. Like, you're seeing a new stand-in each time. And they played well with Valence. Refresh came in, and I mean, he looked pretty solid. He didn't
really
play
well.
Bad. Played really well. Yeah. So I think that's as happy as they couldn't be happier, I'm sure, with that outcome.
Mm-hmm. FaZe Clan ended up getting fifth, and Ninjas ended up getting sixth. You know, they had a poor performance and everything there, but it was a good tournament overall. Blast Pros really turned it around for me. I know last year they were kind of like the butt of all of our jokes, just with canceling day one, and there's so much hype built up around these events, but they've turned out to be, actually pretty fun. One note
they do,
to say,
they do a really good job. I do enjoy their production.
And there's a lot of CSGO news, so I don't really want to talk about the matches here, but you did have Swag standing in for
MIBR.
MIBR.
Yeah, he stood in for Fur, who had his ear surgery. Again, cool to see Swag on the big stage. You know, like he's not going to get a ton of opportunities like that because he just won't ever be on a top team.
You did get like the whole pro scene. I love it how every time these guys like get to a tournament, it all of a sudden spikes up the argument of free
Swag
power.
Hashtag all of a sudden comes back around.
Yep. I am a true believer that that's never going to happen, ever.
We can only hope.
It's not going to happen.
It's time.
You know why? Because Valve doesn't benefit any from it. Like, look at how healthy Counter-Strike is going and the pro scene's going, and this is all without them playing in their tournaments. Why would Valve... I promise you, the discussion hasn't came up in Valve since the moment they banned them. I promise you that.
Yeah, since the unbanning, I'm sure it hasn't come up again. Like the unbanning of all the events.
Yeah, okay.
Other than
yeah.
Valve. I'm sure it came up at that point again because they did make a statement saying,
and
like,
said, hey, maybe we should, but then.
We're not going to.
Yeah, and I guess it really does show that they don't care because, like, okay, you can do these events with these teams and they're laughing underneath their breath, right? Because what team is going to take these guys on that is really serious about winning a major, right? So it's like, yeah, sure. Here you go.
Mm-hmm.
Go play.
So it still puts every team in an awkward position that has them, right? On the off chance that they perform well. Like Ghost, right? Ghost has been performing really well. And yet, with Steel on the team, even if they qualify for a major, like they know he cannot come. And then it's kind of this awkward...
Fill-in,
but it's a fill-in that maybe would have just qualified for the major. So don't you kind of feel like... Hey, bud,
we
just qualified for a major with this guy. Maybe we should keep him. It's awkward. Valve doesn't care, though, and I don't think you're ever going to see that. So go ahead.
I'll make one more point, and then, we can move on. Yeah. So, I mean, maybe that is what maybe the other guys are hoping for, is that someone like Ghost does kind of sneak into one of these next majors, and it's like now Valve has to really make a decision. I mean, the decision's made. They can't play, but...
Mm-hmm.
They're under the microscope at that point. It's like, oh, Ghost qualified. Now what? SRIGL? Are we going to tell them, like,
no, they can't qualify with Steel.
Yeah, so like he can't even play any of the minor.
He can't do any of the participation to get up to the major.
That's what I'm saying. So even if they do qualify for the major, they would have gone the whole way without steel
with somebody else.
Or
so that's why I just wanted to clarify that can't even do any qualification matches with steel. So he has no involvement whatsoever.
So even then, I think Valve's counterpoint to be is like, you made it without him. Why would you want us to let him play?
They're not changing that, but we can. That's old news. We have so much, you know, going on right now just within the world of CSGO. Where did you even want to start?
I'm going to start with just the order that I have the notes in, and then we can take the conversation however you want it, because a lot of this intertwines, right, with trade rumors and roster changes and dismissals and everything there. Starting with MIBR, this broke, I think, last Tuesday after we recorded Monday night. That Tarek is reportedly going to be benched and shopped around. And the rumor is that MIBR and Liquid are going to be trading Taco and Zeus for Stewie. So with Zeus being the coach coming over, everyone assumes that means Yanko is going to be leaving as coach for MIBR. They're going to bench Tarek. And now today, Nell is reporting that Phelps will actually be a fifth player for MIBR.
150k buyout,
and Tarek at the moment has been offered teams and been offered contracts but is not saying yes to any of them, and MIBR is actively trying to shop him around.
Curious to what their asking prices for him, but I think Tarek's value is still very high. I think this is more just him being picky on where he wants to go play.
I think it's him
versus
being
like
smart, right?
Yeah, like he's not gonna just go jump on the first offer he gets, because he now, for him, he's gotten put in a really bad spot, right? Because he left Cloud9 to go to MIBR. Now Stewie is gone, and Stewie has remained, you know, Stewie upgraded technically, right? Like if it all pans out and this actually happens, you know, Stewie in his mind moved from the fourth best team to the second best team. I don't think Tarek wants to see a drop to like, oh gosh, now I'm going to go into a top 15, top 20 team, and we got to work our way up. He'll find an opening somewhere for himself.
And I'm sure it's more of a stability thing too, because he like uprooted himself from like the East Coast to the West Coast, right? Like it's like, well, all right. That was a fun, what, 3 months?
But he moved to the West Coast prior to that with Cloud9, didn't he? Because Cloud9 is
he
LA
based.
So.
I just
watch a lot of his streams. It seems like he's always in his apartment in New York.
No, I think he moved there with Cloud9. Probably travels back and forth quite a bit, but he moved
to
Cloud9 instead.
Like from a Tarek perspective though too, like a lot of this is coming into play where, okay, I just joined what was supposed to become like the number one
team
in CSGO, right? Yeah, this was the next super team, and it didn't even get close to becoming that, partially because of Astralis on their run, right? I don't think there was any team going to become a super team with Astralis playing the way they are, but nonetheless, they had a lot of issues outside of even playing Astralis. It'd be different if they just dominated every team and then lost to Astralis. But you also saw in other tournaments them losing to guys like still like Cloud9, you know, and these lower bin teams.
And it's not even like more to your, it's not really even Astralis. I mean, couldn't you think of like two other NA teams that were maybe better than playing better than MIB on paper? They're supposed to be one of the best NA teams, but if you look at it just performance wise, I mean, go beyond Astralis. I mean, you could look at Liquid. I mean, that's one NA team.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, Na'Vi and the EU. I mean, there are teams even above them. So, I mean, yeah, it was.
And so we talked a little bit about this last week, right? Where we were saying, like, what do teams need to do to beat Astralis? And we kind of all agreed that, like, don't do anything with your rosters. Just try learning a different strategy, right? Figuring out a different way to play Astralis. And we were like, if anything might happen, Taco could go back to MIBR, right? We could see that realistically happening. And, you know, maybe MIBR listens to the podcast. You know, I don't know. We have thousands, maybe even million listeners, right? I can't even see the number because it's so big. So maybe MIBR listens to the podcast. But then the rumor popped out that saying, yeah, Taco and Zeus might be going to MIBR to play back with their friends, and Stewie might be going to Liquid. And now the rumor came up today that Adren might be going to Team Liquid as coach. Adren being the former player of Liquid.
When they went on their major run at Columbus, he was there with Simple. Yeah.
It was their IGL, right?
Back then at Columbus, it was already on shaky grounds because they kind of kicked him off the team, but then he had to come back due to the qualifying rules and everything there.
And played awesome when he came back.
He was like their MVP.
I will say, I also got a signature. It's in my little shadow box there with all of Team Envy's former players. RIP. I also saw the rumor, though, that Valens from Cloud9 might be either retiring, right? As that's just the hot word to say in esports nowadays. Or he might be going to Team Liquid. So I don't know. I've only saw that once, and I don't know, you know, per my sources, which isn't much of anything. I don't know if that holds water. I mean, who was it that was reporting Adren? Was that Nell?
Yeah, I believe so.
Okay, so
I think it was HLTV.
HLTV, okay. So they obviously have a reputable source. So per our sources, Adren would be joining Liquid. So I find that a little fascinating with Liquid then, that if they blow up that roster, because we've always said like they stand the better chance of kind of taking that next step without taking roster moves. But I think if Stewie goes back there, Stewie going back to a true NA team, I think that is the most interesting move out of
If you wanted to add like a Taric, who else would you boot?
On Liquid? I would.
I mean, who? Yeah. Is that something to even consider?
No, I don't think it's something to consider. Because when you think about it, I would be literally throwing out a name just to put a name out there.
Yeah.
But the way Allege has been playing, the way Nitro's been playing.
You can't lose an IGL. And that's what they would run into if they made the move, because you're not kicking a Liege twist or
definitely.
Obviously get Stewie, so it would put you in a tough spot. You wouldn't do that. I was just curious, but
and it's, I mean, they've been, and we've talked about this in previous episodes. I mean, they've been getting past one team away from winning tournaments, right? It's like, God, that would be rough to make two roster moves when you've had the success. You see the light at the end of the tunnel. You're almost there, and to make, you know,
look, here's some crazy stats on Liquid. Okay, so Liquid this year played in 47 BO3s or best of threes, best of fives. They went 28-19, so they had a pretty good record overall. Out of those 19 losses, 10 were to Astralis.
Yeah, it's rough,
five of those series were in grand finals. Head-to-head against Astralis wasn't even close for them. This is where their disparity comes in their record, because they were 4-24 head-to-head against Astralis this year. So throughout the year, they had I wrote it down. I saw somebody else post this, and I took some notes off of it. They had 55 losses throughout the year, 24 of them to Astralis. So half of their losses basically are to the number one team in the world. So it's hard to see them. This is the only change I think they could have made if you do the taco for Stewie, that I could be like, okay, might be worth the gamble to try and get to number one. There's very few players, though, that I truly think are better suited for a team than Taco, just in terms of what he brings. But I can see MIBR wanting to regain the glory days. And
can we talk about for one second, though, the factor that you don't necessarily see on paper, and that's losing Zeus? I think, honestly, I would say losing Zeus for Liquid is bigger than losing Taco, because ever since they got Zeus, they really kind of turned things around. We spoke with them, I think, very early on with the team at ESL Dallas season 6, I think that would have been 5 or 6, whenever the first time in Dallas, whenever that was. And ever even since then, right, you saw Liquid kind of take this upswing. And I know a lot of people are making a big deal about losing Zeus. I do think, though, there's something to be said about the way Nitro has been playing. And I think it's possible, like, so, for example, if a player leaves a team, I don't think you can be like, well, the other teams have learned from them, or the other players have, and they can kind of adapt, right? But if a coach leaves a team, I think he can kind of rub off on the players a little bit.
So that's exactly what I was going to say with Zeus. I don't think Zeus, in terms of strategy, I don't know how much he brought necessarily there. When you talk to Zeus and you meet Zeus, you feel like he's on a team to motivate and keep people upbeat and to come through during hard times and to like to really dig deep. Like he has that Brazilian passion for getting you amped up and kind of keeping you there. That's something that I feel like can probably rub off on you. And to lose him at this point, once they're established, isn't going to hurt them as bad as had they, you know, not had him at all. For them, this is like not a bad time though, right? Because if you're going to have coaches available, like you said, you know, Adren is a possibility. You know, even Yanko is now out there. It might not be, you know, a bad pickup in terms of obviously there's no language barrier. There's a knowledge for the game there. Hopefully learn from his experience with MIBR.
My one thing there, right? And this is obviously looking way too far into it. First off, Alchemist does bring up a good point in Twitch chat saying rubbing off on players can sometimes get a coach fired. Could also get them hired if you rub off on the right player. But back to my point is, so what tournament was it? ECS Finals. Okay. Do you recall seeing the video after MIBR lost to Astralis in the finals? You kind of saw Stewie look exasperated and like Yanko kind of looked towards him. And if you kind of read his lips, it kind of looked like he was going like, why? Like they kind of looked frustrated with Fallen's calling sometimes.
But that particular play was going to drive a lot of frustration out of anybody, because we're talking about the mid smoke where they pushed through on the eco against Astralis, and it was a god awful play in that situation.
Do you think, though, that was kind of the tipping point? Like the catalyst that you can look back and say, this was the first time we saw visual frustration? And do you think it's coincidence that the three people that kind of looked the most frustrated at that moment are the three people rumored to be leaving the team?
No, personally, I don't, just because I think there's been frustration throughout the whole year with this team. It's been consistent frustration. Like there's been no stability in terms of, you know, who they're beating, when they're beating them, how they're beating them. They look like a different team each time you see them play. Sometimes you watch them and you think, oh man, this is like, this is the next team. Like this team's finding it. They're going to run away with this. And then other times they play and they lose to a team like Sharks 16-6. And you're like, well, man, like
don't sleep what's on going sharks. On here?
It's,
don't
sleep on the Sharks. Like, it's just there's inconsistency. Don't sleep on. They play at like almost the opponent's level majority of the time. And I think that's just been throughout the whole year. So I don't think this one event was like, okay, it's, I think this one event was like, okay, it's just time. Like we've tried, for, a, you know, 6 months, a year, whatever. I don't even know how long it's been in CS terms. It's been forever.
I mean, that's like 3 years in human years, right?
Yeah.
It's like, it's, and really I'm with you, Anoush. I don't think it's that one moment. I mean, you just look at their tournament history and you can see, I mean, and this is the case in any sport. We could talk about it in esports or traditional sports. Losing brings toxicity. It does. And you keep losing and losing and losing. And eventually players are going to talk. And this happens. Like, it just, I don't see it as like one scenario. I mean, it's just like a buildup of.
Man, just they're just a high profile team, right? So anything that happens bad is going to stack. And emotions will get heated at times, but I think this was just a accumulation of just a bad season overall. And they probably just didn't see it turning around. You can't continue to wait. You know, time is precious in Counter-Strike, and you don't have years and years to do this. Like people are in their prime, and I don't think it's the worst idea to going, you know, possibly going back to what you had. And
it's funny you talk about that. I mean, yeah, I mean, they kind of are in their prime, because you look at a CSGO player, it's like, man, I'm 28. Guess it's time to
go join.
Think about retirement.
Yeah.
It's like, man, what am I going to do with my life now? I'm 28. Oh my God.
No, for sure. I mean, so Liquid is just going to have an interesting off season right now.
Yeah.
Liquid and MIBR both.
I know you wanted to kind of just talk about Astralis. I mean, I know there's nothing bad to say about them, but just to kind of recap the year.
This is just, I want people to understand what we saw this year in Astralis. They played in 16 LAN events. They won 10 of them. They won 10 LAN events this year, which is, we're not talking about just, you know, baby events here. You know, these are majors included. These are some of your premier events overall. They've won their last four events in a row and six out of their last seven events they attended. Device has been on a tear. I mean, he's gotten seven MVPs this year. Offline record of 125 and 35. And I think some of the highlights to be noted off of this is the fact that they went undefeated on Nuke. They ended up going 27-0. They lost one map on Dust 2. And teams
just started banning it against them like within the last two events.
So actually, pull this up. Give me a second here. I want to show this. So this is insane. We say that, right? Like, oh, well, why are teams just don't play them on Nuke, right? Well, here you go. They're 13-1 on Dust 2. They're 37-10 on Inferno. Overpass, fairly good record, 17-8. You think about it, when they do their bans, they seem to be banning Cash as their permaban and Train as another ban of theirs. So it leaves you with such a small pool. I mean, there's just not many maps that they're bad on. Mm-hmm. Obviously, Nuke, if you're undefeated 27-0, ban the damn map against them at this point. But again, they're just so deep on their map pool that it really doesn't matter. You see them close out games on Inferno all the time. You feel like you see it on Overpass often enough. And then again, you know, if it goes to Nuke, you kind of just hand them that map right up front. So they've been on a crazy tear, definitely in consideration for one of the best teams of all time. I think if they can make this run again in 2019, it shows, you know, longevity in terms of CS holiness, and they're right there though. They're not too far off from being in that conversation or being at the top of that list.
I mean, I think if you look back on, I mean, if we're saying teams like Luminosity / SK with their roster, teams like Fnatic, even like Virtus Pro, right? Back in the day, when you think of like old CSGO dynasties, I think you can already say that they are a dynasty. Maybe if you want to say they need one more major. Maybe if we really want to be picky on the word dynasty, right? Dynasty is a heavy word to use. I get that. But they're
in traditional sports sense, it's not a dynasty though, right?
No. You're correct. Like, in traditional sports sense, but in traditional sports sense, they would have played one season by now, right?
Yeah, I mean, it's a large sample size that we've already had and we've seen. It's just,
yeah.
I mean, yeah, just through watching and talking to the players and coaches, like, you just see, like, they are just more well-prepared than anybody. I mean, their work ethic is insane. I mean, you can see it. They passed the eye test. And I feel like they've played enough to kind of say, yeah, they're
done. Give me, let's see, because they have won two majors. Well, like, so let me see, who was on their rosters on both majors? That I don't know off the top of my head.
You didn't have Magist there, I know that, for the first one.
They've only cycled one roster spot, right? They've always had.
All right, so give me one more major with this roster, and I think it'd be safe to call a dynasty. And I'm just using it in comparison to the other only thing we got, which is other esports teams that we've said. And like Fnatic and all them, they've had Fnatic, major SK, runs. But even the in-betweens, I don't think I've seen anything like this.
But do you feel like maybe Astralis is playing at a time where there's more diversity and more competition?
Yeah, but you just got to go with who they're up against at this point in time, right? Like, it's hard to blame the other teams for that. I think majors just mean, I think you got to have three or plus. And I think, again, that's just the normals. I say normal, the traditional sports side of me thinking like, man, dynasty, like three out of four, you know, that that's kind of the mark in my head. You know, even if you spread them out, maybe over a 2 or 3 year span, okay. But ideally, I would want to see them in consecutive order. The problem with Counter-Strike is the majors are pretty spread out, so you got to hold consistency for a long time. But I don't think they're far off. I think this year would be what I would consider similar to like the Warriors years of 2 years, or Warrior team of like 2 years ago or whatever, when they went 55-9 or whatever the heck their record was, 69-, you know, broke the Bulls record and all that fun stuff, 72-10. That was an amazing year. Dynasty, give me another major or two.
Okay. All right. Look, speaking of dynasties and former dynasties, Virtus Pro finally announced it that they are ceasing competitive CSGO activities. After losing in the, they lost to XCon in the EU minor qualifiers. Anuj, give me 10 seconds on XCon.
on XCOM.
XCOM is an EU team.
I like it.
That's all I got.
I like it. That's why we have you on the show.
Man, every week it looks like we're doing geography. Like, I gave a geography.
They also were relegated against Team Kinguin, which is Taz's current team, out of ESL Pro League. And so quickly after that, the team announced that they are ceasing CSGO activity. Key phrasing there, right? They're ceasing activity. I know a lot of people were ready to like have their eulogy and like just kind of bury them. They're not done with CSGO. They're just taking a step back to figure out what the hell they want to do. Because already there are talks today that they're attempting to get back snacks from Mouseports. So don't look at this as like, well, Virtus Pro's throwing in the towel. You know, they're done with CSGO. It's the end of an era. No, they're fine. Honestly, they're doing what they should have done a while ago and just take a step back, regroup, figure out who the hell even wants to be there and who wants to play. You know, I think you clearly saw their downfall, and this is a jerk thing to say as a man with no kids, right? But as soon as they started having kids, you clearly saw, like, their play step down.
We saw that in Brett. We saw that first
year. What?
Who Brett used to be a silver four and second child, and hey, now he's like a silver one.
You just know? Like
can,
that.
Can we talk about Rocket League?
No, but in general, yeah, I mean, this team, I thought it was a weird announcement.
All I'm
announcement,
saying is priorities. Priorities yeah, shifted. Okay. I'm not saying kids is the reason they suck. I'm saying their priorities shifted.
They were already on the way down.
And it's honestly the first time we saw in Counter-Strike or even in esports, right? Someone even get old enough to have kids to see, how would a family life affect a professional gamer? And I think we somewhat, you can say in Virtus Pro, like, okay, it does affect them.
Yeah, I mean, okay, yes and no. I'm not going to 100% agree with that just because I think they were already on the decline. And then priorities are easy to shift when your team sucks, right? Like when you're not going to win anything, you're not making it to major events, you're barely staying qualified in pro league, like your motivation's pretty low. So your priorities will then shift to occupy, you know, whatever time you have. This was a weird announcement to say that they were ceasing activities and then like 24 hours later, hey, we're going after snacks now. Like,
yeah, like you think just, they could have just made like, roster just, moves and not said anything at I mean, all?
We just don't even yeah. say, hey, we're cutting ties with some of our players. We're going to reevaluate, see what we're about to, you know, we're going to stay in this scene. There was no need to say ceasing activities
now,
and make it seem like
I think
we're
though,
taking
this,
an extended
this is why
of
I think
off.
They had to say something though, is because they did forfeit a match or two in upcoming events and leagues. I think in the Star Series qualifier, correct me if I'm wrong, but I think it was that event, they did have to forfeit a game. So I think they couldn't have forfeited that game and then not said anything. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, I guess it just seemed weird that it was so quick after the turnaround. Like, hey, we're ceasing activities and now we're looking to get snacks. Mind you, you know, Mouse paid them $300K, you know, for snacks. And I bet
maybe.
You just... Maybe
they asked, hey, Virtus Pro, what are you guys going to do now? And they said, we're going to go get snacks. Like, we're going to the store just to get some
like a
snacks.
Fruit cup?
Yeah.
I'm just talking about a fruit cup.
We just want some Flamin' Hot Cheetos.
I can't wait to see what they get them back for. I mean, my guess would be $50K or less.
What did Mouse get it for?
$300.
Okay, so $300. It was a miserable signing. Not to Mouse's fault, right? I mean, it was a good signing
at the time.
It just didn't work.
Snacks was underperforming when Mouse got him. It wasn't like Snacks was at the top of his game and leading VP to anything at that point. Their run was kind of done, you know, when that decision was made. So it was a high price to pay for a legendary name.
Right. So it didn't work out for Mouse Sports. I could definitely see them getting out, getting rid of him, replacing him with who? Who knows?
Well, they brought Steiko. They brought
Steiko
back,
right?
Yeah.
Steiko.
Sticko. They're about Sticko back.
what are we going to call him this week?
Sticko. We're going to Sticko.
Okay. We'll call him Sticko this week.
Yeah, they already brought him back. Snacks
so
is just
he'll hit the roster. So Snacks will, you know, there's a chance. I guess now that they have all the time in the world to make a roster, it's going to be very interesting to see what happens.
And there are teams that, you know, take a, I guess, sabbatical. And come back and make a pro league spot. There you go.
Yeah. Okay, enough about VP.
And then
RIP.
RIP.
Let's go to Cloud9. There are a few things going on with Cloud9, as we've mentioned. I saw this where they are thinking, and this is all tying into what I said earlier with Valens possibly either retiring or going to Team Liquid or whatever. So now there are talks that Semphis might be their potential new head coach. He was with them at Blast Pro. He put out on a Instagram or Snapchat or whatever the kids are using nowadays, a picture at the dinner table. First off, don't think ownership appreciates that, bruh. Like, let's not tweet out that you're eating lunch with a random ass team you're not a part of. Like,
in a different country.
In a different country. Like, you didn't just have to go to that restaurant and be like, Cloud9?
And then to spill the beans that your coach is retiring next year.
Yeah.
Like, he's the one that even spilled that, right? Like, he's the one that said, well, oh, just to clarify, I'm not becoming the coach because they want me. It's like, Valens is retiring next year, planning to. I was like, oh, man, he's like saying a lot that the organization.
I hate the word retirement, man.
Yeah, whatever, stepping back.
Also, correct me if I'm wrong, wasn't Semphis also the one who spilled the beans about players using Adderall and drugs? So maybe the dude just doesn't know when to stop talking. We need to get him on the show.
That would be great.
we can ask him anything. I am not a fan of it. I'm not a fan either of Semphis coming back. There was a in the thread on the CSGO subreddit, I was talking to a another Reddit user, I guess, saying he was trying to justify the fact, like, well, Semphis, I mean, he was one of the best IGLs back 5 years ago when he was on Cloud9, and he beat some of the best EU teams and blah, blah, blah. Okay, well, guess what? Virtus Pro 5 years ago was also one of the best teams in the world, and now look at him, right? Things change. Semphis could have beat top EU talent back then, but it's not like Semphis has gone away and not played, right? He still has a recent resume to go off of, and that recent resume is horrendous. The dude can't even, like, throw away the top EU team argument. He can't beat second-tier NA talent right now. And if he's supposed to be this mastermind IGL that's going to carry Cloud9 to the promised lands, I don't see it.
No, this is like Cloud9 just got their own Christmas present here. Like, take Kerrigan. He's sitting right there. That should be your IGL. That should be your coach. That should be your leader. I mean, throw him onto your team. Maybe it's a good time to kind of revamp this lineup partially. I hate to even say it, but you bring in a younger talent like Refresh to go along with Automatic and Rush, and bring back, you know, Taric, or you keep Flesha, who's playing well. But again, I feel like Flesha at some point just wants to be back on
EU.
Quote me on that.
But you also have Yanko, right, as a free agent. If he wants to stick around in the head coaching, I guess that's a wild card, right? That's one of the things that you just don't know what Yanko wants to do.
The selfish person in me wants him to go back,
wants him to go back to the desk.
God, oh my gosh. I can't talk.
You put that alcohol away.
It's just, it's not even the alcohol. I'm tired. It's kids.
See?
I got a baby. Yeah, no, it's affecting
Virtus
me.
Virtus Pro.
Oh my God, you're right. But
no, but it's, yeah,
it's the ups and downs. It's the crazy thing is the ups and downs of current C9. Like, they make good move, bad move, good move, bad move. Okay, Skadoodle leaves. Grit. We can all agree that was a good move, right? For Cloud9. He leaves. Okay, we can start the rebuilding process. And then, you know, they make a roster move that we know is not going to be permanent. And then there's this talk of Kerrigan. Great, great move. Great IGL. And then you hear another, you know, maybe bad name come in. It's like they don't know what they want to be. Like, it's just all over the place.
I think the offseason is going to benefit them greatly. I think, much like a lot of these teams, right? Take this month or so off just to kind of figure it out. Talk with other organizations to get all your dominoes in a row and figure out what the hell do you want to be. I honestly, like, I know some people are like, they need to go back to NA. I don't really care, right? I don't care if they're an NA roster, right? They're Cloud9. They're my team. And I just want to see them be consistent. Hell, I don't even care if you're consistently bad. I just want to know what roster I'm going to watch, you know, for the
I do want to see
part.
Them, like, I don't care if they have EU players. I want them to live in NA and play and
yeah,
under
that's
the
what I'm
NA
saying.
Flag,
always
though,
be an
personally.
NA team. They will always be an NA team.
With the lineup they have, we'll it would just be weird to be like, okay, they're all going to stick around here for a long time, right? So as a fan, it's like, how attached do I want to get right now? And with that being said, like Kerrigan, you know, let's go to FaZe here and move on to them. With Kerrigan being benched, I know a lot of people are like, man, finally, this needed to happen. So answer me this. FaZe just lost their IGL. Who's the best IGL available?
You know what FaZe reminds me of?
Kerrigan.
Yeah.
You know what FaZe reminds me of? FaZe is the Dallas Cowboys. Everyone wants to get rid of the quarterback, right? Everyone wanted to get rid of Romo. Everyone is saying get rid of Dax. And then you're like, okay, so we got rid of him. Who's the best free agent right now? Oh, the guy we just cut.
Yeah.
Who do you replace him with at this point if you're FaZe?
They needed to replace like a rifler, or they needed to make a move elsewhere, in my opinion, because there's too much talent on that team for them not to be winning. And to sit there and throw it on Kerrigan, I think is really just going to come back to bite him. I don't know who you get that's going to be a better leader than him. There's just no one out there. There's not many IGLs out there in general. They're like right now there's 5 to 10 really what we would consider good IGLs in the game, and most of them are scooped up on a top 10 team already. So I don't know where they turn to. You know, if Nico wants to call, great. I think that's a terrible idea also. I just would hate to see him take a step back in terms of his individual play. But they need an IGL. So I don't know where they go from here. I really don't know who they pick up.
Maybe Kerrigan just needs to improve his blast per rating.
76 ain't gonna cut
that's
it.
That's what it was. they saw his blast pro ratings and were like, "Ooh, God, I don't."
That's how they made the decision. Madden ratings came out and
they're like, "Yeah." And then you also had this very awkward announcement by Zeus on Na'Vi that came out the other day, saying that he plans to end his career in 2019. Super. I don't know what like sparked it. I don't know. I read the little article. I believe it was on HLTV. It could be wrong. Don't care. But I didn't feel like the question really prompted that type of response. And then he even came out to say, like, yeah, there were a lot of teams this year who approached Simple, and he feels like there's a good chance Simple might be gone next year from Na'Vi. Very, very random, I think, for him to come out and say that. But I think it does shed light a lot, because like, I think there was even earlier in the year, right, there was a lot of rumors that Na'Vi was going to blow up. And I just think mentally that tells you where they're at. You know, I think Anuj, you were talking about with Virtus Pro and just saying like there comes a point where no matter what's going on, it's easy to not care if you're a bad team. It's also really easy to not care when one of your guys is saying, yeah, I'm probably done next year.
It's a weird deal. I mean, it's like a slap in the face of the organization, right? Because it's like, well, I'm thinking about leaving at the end of the year, or maybe middle of the year. I don't
know.
Is
Zeus good enough to say something like that, though? Is Zeus good enough to say I'm done next year and then expect to not be shopped around?
It's like okay, I'm going to be good for two majors, but that other one, yeah, you're going to have to. Good luck finding somebody else, Chief. You know, it's like come on, man. If I was Na'Vi, this is a. Like we've been talking about it this entire episode, how this is a transition, right? If I heard that coming from my IGL, I'd be like, I don't want to be left finding an IGL in the middle of the season next year.
If I'm Na'Vi, I'm hiring a translator in Kerrigan tomorrow and just going ahead and making the swap right now.
Yeah,
that's what I'm saying.
Time I don't to speak Russian, baby. Let's go.
Zeus is good enough to dictate, like saying, yeah, I'm done, guys. Thanks. Here's my 2 weeks, and you know whatever. I think that team would probably tell him, "Hey, just why don't you quit now?" Like,
yeah, Zeus is gonna walk out a legend regardless because of what happened at
Gambit.
With Gambit, like, right? He was a leader on that team, the IGL on that team. There was that time, you know, that infamous timeout on Train where he was hyping everybody up to get back into the match. So he'll walk out a champion. But at this stage in your career, like. I don't know. He should be smart enough to not throw that out there, even if he's really thinking that. And it's okay for him to step back. Just timing is weird.
In the last bit of CSGO news before we get to a very merry TCR Christmas, I was going to bring this up in e-news, but if we're talking about CSGO, we might as well bring it up now. The Old Guys Club is officially out of the major qualifier. They ended up having to forfeit their game against Team One due to not even scheduling conflicts in that match. It would have been if they won the next match. They weren't able to make it, and Valve or whoever is in charge of it was not willing to reschedule that match.
It sounded like a lot of that was on them. I was watching and listening to them after and all that. Yeah. They didn't sign up a sixth person on the team, which was a big mistake, especially when somebody like Jason R is just sitting there and available. You could have thrown him on the roster and had a sub. So I think they just didn't think they would make it to the point where they were probably going to qualify.
It was entertaining, though. Like, against Team One, they got they were one round away from winning, and then they said, "All right, GG, we got to go." And
with Team One, was like, on the first map. It sucks for people like Sean Garris that I believe are trying to get on another team, right? It's kind of a showcase.
I don't even know how much Sean's really trying to get on another team, honestly.
I think it feels like it, just watching it, man. And just the communication.
I don't know, because he's even said he's been offered to coach, and he doesn't really want to do that. I think he kind of enjoys his free time and doing this for fun, and he might, but I think he would take like a Hiko route, where like he's perfectly fine kind of joining that lower tier, less stress environment.
What this was for him, right? Like, yeah. this team also played in like MDL or whatever it was, right? Or open, not
but
MDL.
I told you as soon as it started getting close, what was going to happen? They would be like, we forfeit.
For them, at the end of the day, it was a class act on their part. Again, they had won the first map, second map up 15-13. Shroud had a commitment that would have conflicted with their next game in 3 hours that he could not get out of. So they decided to forfeit. It gave Team One an opportunity to advance. Team One won their next match and ended up making the minors. So for them, it was a huge opportunity, and they owe a lot of it to, those guys doing the right thing. Yeah, for sure. But it really sucked because these guys had 100K viewers, and it was so much fun to watch them. And
it was cool. Hopefully they do it again.
Yeah, for sure.
It seemed like they were all having fun with it, but hopefully
they do it again. And for fans, a lot of fun too.
But talk about fun. As we said, it is the time of giving and joy and laughter and cheer. And so we here at TCR wanted to invite you, the listener, at our very own very merry TCR Christmas. We've been doing a lot of shopping around. Christmas is next week. We won't be here. We're taking the week off. So this is an extra long episode. That's our Christmas gift to you. And we thought, what better way? We won't be here. Right, so we got to give our gifts early. So Anuj, Brett, and myself shopped around, went to Amazon. I believe Brett said he went to AdamandEve.com. Is that where you said you got yours?
Hey, I've been married for almost a decade. 10 years next year. Got
to
keep
you
it gotta fresh.
You got to go to AdamandEve.com to keep that fresh.
free shipping over $50.
Got to keep that alive.
Whoa, Anuj coming in. Coming into the clutch. Look at you.
So we did get Christmas gifts for the esports community. And we can go down the list here. Let me... Hold on. I'll play Santa here. All the gifts are at my house. So let me go. I got to get this gift here.
God, please tell me it's not G Fuel.
Go sit on his lap, Anuj.
All right. Let me read here. This one, it says, from Tim to Facebook. All right. So this is one of my gifts. I got Facebook for Christmas. Let me open it. I forget. I got to open it up. Hold on. I got Facebook, a 1080 60 FPS streaming platform that actually loads. I hope they enjoy it. I felt what like they gift, needed dude. One. Man. I felt
you
like they needed one.
Do you want to re-gift that to me?
No. Facebook, I felt like needed it. They had one now. Maybe next year I can give them some advertising on their own product. I was asking some friends around. I was like, all right, ESL, what does Facebook want for Christmas? I know what they want, but what do they need?
And they're struggling, and right? Like, it's ESL, hard for them. They just need some money, said, dude.
Yeah, they gave me the tip. So Merry Christmas, Facebook, from us at TCR.
I love Tim helping the little guy out.
Let me get a another gift here real quick. Hold on. Let me get this one. Oh, my headphones are still on my head here as I bend over to get a gift here. This gift here. Oh, it's from Anuj. This one says Anuj to 343 Studios.
Man, I have something so special for that. It took me a long time to find this. This wasn't on Amazon. I found this on voodooshop.com. It was on sale, so I bought three of them, actually. I want to give them all to 343. Oh, I bought Good Luck Charms, and I'm handing it to every developer on the team because I so badly want Halo to be Halo, and I want it to come back to its prime glory days, so I bought everybody on the team Good Luck Charms because I wish them nothing but the best, and I want Halo to be... I want a Halo to make America great again.
Oh, whoa.
See, and I thought that was a very thoughtful gift, and I agree with you. If you would have told me, I would have pitched in for that gift. We could have bought maybe four or five, because that is a very thoughtful gift. Thank you, Anuj. 343 will appreciate that. Let me go here and get this other gift here. Oh God, it's a big one. It's a big one.
It's a big one.
It says here, from Brett to Blizzard.
They have my heart. And my gift to Blizzard is TCR's game testers. Before you make a patch or a new hero live. I mean, it feels like we're scrambling before the start of the season to, and it even feels like Overwatch is trying to scramble to get out of that GOAT strat. Let TCR test it and tell you why it sucks and why it's not going to be a fun viewing experience. And it'll be a very Merry Christmas.
You know what? I got something related to Overwatch League for Christmas too. Let me try to reach for my gift here.
Man, they're getting all the gifts.
All right. Now, well, this one here, it says actually from Tim to Alchemist. Let me open it up here. I got Alchemist, you know, when he was former lead observer for the Overwatch League, he was always talking about wanting one thing, and that was the storyline. He's like, oh, you always got to follow the storyline. So I got Alchemist a storyline for him to follow. So he'll never be without one. So I love you, buddy. Merry TCR Christmas to our friend at Alchemist. Let's see here. I know we have tons of gifts here.
Alchemist really wanted third-person Genji for Christmas, didn't he?
that's what he really wanted. But
I think that's like what was top on his list, I think he said.
Called Counter-Strike.
I'll get Alchemist a job next year for Christmas.
Man, we would love to have you back in the God.
Yes, absolutely. All right. So let's see here on this next gift here. It says to Anowaj, or actually says from Anowaje Baje to, oh, this is a twofer, to Stewie and Tarek.
Oh.
Bro, this one I had to dig deep.
We were only going to give one person gifts here, but okay.
This is a combined gift. I'm honestly struggling to pay my mortgage this month because I had to throw it all out there for this one. I bought them a brand spanking new time machine. This time machine allows them to go back 1 year in the past only and start over because they genuinely made one of the worst decisions to leave Cloud9. Do what they did, and so I wanna bless them with a redo for Christmas.
A mulligan. Oh,
the only way I could do that was finding a time machine. Cost me an arm and a leg. Totally worth it because this also brings Tim happiness. So really, it's a threefer.
Man, I appreciate that. I appreciate that. And you know what though? Funny enough, I also got Stewie something. So he's getting two. He's getting two gifts from TCR.
Man.
I don't want to spoil the guy here. So let me get my gift. Let me get my gift here. It's so big. So big. Oh, okay. So I got Stewie here.
This production value is awesome.
I even wiped it off a little bit for him because I don't, you know, it's a Christmas gift. It's gotta look nice. But I actually got him the very knife itself that he stuck into C9's back. He left it there. I just wanted to give it back to him, and so Stewie, I give you your knife back. So Merry Christmas, Stewie, from everyone here at TCR.
I always pictured you as a re-gifter.
Well, God. You know, it's a re-gifter, but it's also like a memento, you know? It's memory.
It's a souvenir. It was a souvenir. Yeah,
it's a collector's item, so I just wanted to give it back to him. Let's see here. We have a few left here. I think one more from each of us here. So let me get this other gift here. This one here, it says, from Brett to the Overwatch League.
Oh. And my gift, and it's really a selfish gift.
I like how you act surprised, but it's your gift. You know what it is.
Yeah, I know. I'm gifting them a gift for me that will be a gift for everybody.
It's like when you get your wife like a cooking utensil or something, right?
Right. It's home at home. They've teased us, and for those who don't know, the Dallas Fuel are going to be the first team in Overwatch. We talked about this in last week's episode to host a home game, two of them, in February, I believe, right? Late February?
Well, it doesn't start till... No. The league starts in February. Dallas's home game's in April.
Right, okay. So they're teasing that, and it's like, why can't we just have that now? I mean, it just makes the viewing experience that much better. I mean, I watch the Overwatch League. I'll watch Shanghai play, you know, Florida. Shots fired. But it's just, it's a weird experience. I mean, I feel like just seeing the same atmosphere, just for the normal viewer, just kind of starts to wear on you, right? Like, I want freshness. I want new faces. I don't want, you know, just looking at the same thing week in and week out. I want to see a home crowd get hyped over their team, right? And I feel like it's going to do very, very well in each city and each major city that hosts an Overwatch team. So they're teasing it this year, but I want it now. And Alchemist is talking about money. You keep your logic to yourself, sir.
On the bright side, I hear that they have a lot more budget after killing off Heroes of the Storm. So maybe they'll have money from that, which we'll talk about next. Let's see. No. We have a couple more gifts here. Let's give this one here is from a Nuge to PUBG.
This was actually the easiest gift for me to get. I ran down to the hardware store. There's a Lowe's about 5 minutes from my house over here. Quick pickup. I picked up a like a box of nails, and I only did that because it's for their coffin. The game has like been on a steady decline, and I just don't see it coming back. I don't see it finding a way to revive itself, that they truly have to reinvent that game, I believe, to stay relevant. And especially in this climate, like, things have just progressed so quickly and they stayed the same for so long, that I see it kind of dwindling down, and it's just going to be a game of the past. For as big as and hot as it was, it's insane to see within a year how much that has changed. So yeah, I bought them some brand new nails. Use press immediately. But yeah, I don't see that game reviving itself, unfortunately.
It's just a weird deal. I kind of latched myself on to TSM, and I followed all their streams, and I very rarely see them just grind out that game anymore. Just a weird deal.
Yeah. They just didn't do it enough fast enough. They were just one step behind. They were ahead, and they really took off, and they didn't advance. And optimization issues, lack of new content has killed them.
I do want to bring up PUBG in our next topic. One more gift here. Let me get that from off the floor here. Okay. This is actually, it's from me, to Machine. Legendary stage host, desk host. I got him a mirror so he could just look at it so he knows how beautiful he is. And how perfect.
Man, you're such a nice man. That's... We all love Machine. And anything he does, it's just awesome.
Isn't he good at Counter-Strike? Every game.
Just recently, Rocket League, he did. And he's just, he brings that charisma brings that awesome.
I feel bad for other hosts because now it's like, oh, that's not Machine. This would have been better if it was Machine.
And I think it goes back to Tim. Tim and Machine had a moment back in Austin. What was it, like 3 years ago?
It was the first DreamHack Austin.
Tim was like, I love you. And Machine goes, I love you more. And Tim was
right there.
I got
the liner from him, didn't I? I ran into him. Yeah. I had a moment with him in Austin as well, getting up, going from the apartment to the party. I happened to run into him outside, and we had a few minutes to chat and got a liner from him. And that moment, I knew. I knew he was the one.
To be.
A genuinely just good dude.
Yep.
You can just
good
tell.
Good dude. And from all of us here at TCR to our listener, we love you. We adore you. We thank you so much for all your support, as always. So here's to 2019.
For you, we give you content.
I don't know if that's a good gift or a bad one, but it's there. It's there. So yes, that was a fun segment. Hopefully everyone enjoys their gifts that we got them. There might still be more later on. Maybe we can see if anything got lost in shipping after the holidays. Let's get over to our last segment, though, here on our extra long Christmas episode of The Center Ring. Again, always reminding people that we do stream on Twitch. So obviously, if you don't know that, you're listening to this in a podcast, we probably like won't be streaming at that very moment. So this is kind of like a shout out, but like not a relevant one. But you get what I'm saying. Follow us on Twitch so the next time we go live, you'll know it. That's it. Mm-hmm. That's all I got.
Okay. All right.
Let's get to this next topic, though, which I wanted to start it off with the news that Blizzard gave us earlier this week with Heroes of the Storm. It was a weird announcement. It seems like it was a week of weird announcements, right? Between VP and Zeus and Hots. All these weird announcements going on. So Blizzard announced that they are making the, what's the word I'm looking for? Shrinking the team for Heroes of the Storm.
Mm-hmm.
Downsizing. There we go. They're downsizing the team for Heroes of the Storm that works on the game. They will still continue updates and developing, but they're downsizing the team. Take that for what you will. I think that means we're going to keep enough people there to keep the lights on, but don't expect a new hero every other month or whatever the rate they have been going. They also, though, in bigger news, announced that they are killing off the Heroes Global Championship and Heroes of the Dorm. They are not returning in 2019. Heroes of the Dorm was a college tournament for Heroes of the Storm. The HGC was obviously the pro league for Heroes of the Storm. Now, this comes off of a month or two, even, after BlizzCon, after the World Championship, that Blizzard went dark. This is crazy to me. And obviously you didn't know it until you went to Twitter, but the organizations and the players and even the staff, right? Like the people who do, commentary and all that, right? Casting the games did not know about this until Blizzard's actual public announcement of it.
Yeah. Is it surprising though at the same time?
So it's surprising because what have we always said about Heroes of the Storm? Blizzard's backing it up, and because of that, you're never going to see it die because Blizzard is not going to admit that they messed up, right? They're not going to admit that their game is not a success. And ultimately, compared to other aspects, it wasn't that terrible of an esport. It got around 20,000, 30,000 views, you know, 50,000 for the World Championship. I mean, it pulled in okay numbers, right? Especially and when I think of games, I think of like games like Smite, right? Name some other like of those games, right? Smite, and more Smite.
Paladins. Yeah. Like there's other things.
Paladins is a
like
good
that.
One.
Yeah,
there are
sure.
other games out there that I feel pulled in less or equal to numbers of Heroes of the Storm, but they're still going to be around. And the reason is, and this is why I bring up games like PUBG, those developers have got nothing else going on, right? Like PUBG, I think, is still going to remain intact because there is nothing else that Bluehole is doing. They are running their own pro league for it. They're putting up the money. They got nothing else going on. Where I think Blizzard, and this is going back, I think, to their cutbacks with the Overwatch League, right? How they kind of cut back on talent there and made some budget cuts with the Contenders League and everything there. I think Blizzard's realizing they're just going to go all in with Overwatch League. I think they're listening to the top execs for better or for worse, right? And they're kind of just, in my opinion, giving the middle finger to all their lower class games that aren't pushing it.
Yeah, but a lot of this comes down to money. Like at the end of the day, even though they had big tournaments or generated viewership, that doesn't necessarily translate to revenue, right? And so when you have a team of developers and you have to put on production and you have to set up stages and travel costs and accommodations, like all of this stuff costs so much money.
Well, how
and
about
that's
you
where
not
this
put the world champion up to $1 million prize pool.
But that's also to keep it like as relevant as it, you know, could be at the same time, because viewership numbers, although they were okay, there were nothing to brag about at the end of the day. And so I just don't think it was generating enough revenue to keep up with the cost to maintain a fresh and relevant game.
And maybe go ahead, Danush.
No, go ahead.
Well, and maybe it's a competition thing, right? Like, I mean, we see PUBG dying off. You know, HOTS is, you know, taking a step back from esports. And maybe it's the Dota and League crowd. I mean, are they the same crowd, or is it a saturation deal, or are they kind of like bottom
rung?
I think there's
overlap. I do think you probably get those MOBA snobs that say, I'm not a snob, right? I watch
Heroes of Storm
and Dota, but I don't watch League of Legends. You know,
it makes me sad because it's really the only MOBA that I could really attach to, because I never got into.
No, it is though. That's right.
But
though. Like,
I
it
do
is.
Think though,
it's in the same ballpark of all those other games.
But
like,
even then,
I
didn't want this to turn into a justification of was HOTS successful or not. Right. I think everyone knows it was the little brother of the MOBAs. Right. It was the least successful of Dota and League. You know, of those of that
by
genre
far.
By
like,
far,
not even close. Yeah.
Right. And it never even got close. You know, even when it first came out, it was never that close. It was always kind of known for the simple man's MOBA, which I always appreciated. I think, though, the bigger story here, and I think people need to realize this, the developers don't care about your esports. The fact that Blizzard let these teams, these players, this staff sit in the dark for 2 months, we'll say 2 months, and then announce this weeks before Christmas, right? You could have said it quietly behind doors. You could have given them a little bit more wording or warning or anything like that. But then just to yank the rug out from under them, you know, Alchemist just said in the Twitch chat that they made $1.5 billion in the last 3 months, Blizzard did. That was Blizzard and Activision's profit for the last couple of months. They had time to where they could have handled this so much better from a PR stunt.
Yeah, they could have announced it right after they announced Immortals to boost up the morale of the crowd.
I mean,
right. That's a good point, though. I think that, maybe it's more Activision than Blizzard or whatever, but I don't think it's a coincidence that who was the head guy from Blizzard that just backed down? You know who I'm talking about.
Yeah, I don't know the name offhand.
I don't know his name off the top of my head. But I think it's not a coincidence that he left the company, right? I think he probably saw the direction it was going. You know, I'm not faulting them for wanting profits. I'm not faulting them for looking at a product that's not turning profit and then saying, hey, we need to refocus. I am faulting them, though, for not realizing that it's not just like you're not just cutting off esports, right? You are cutting off hundreds of jobs that trickle down from that game.
Yeah, it might not be affecting them internally directly because they're just shifting those developers from
another. We kept them a job, right? We moved them over to New Warcraft 3.
But yeah, the trickle down effect in the community is going to be rather large, and now there's
think,
a lot of people
like,
with
Fnatic had a team, right? All those guys who were in charge of the Fnatic group and all these and teams that went on.
Well, the university.
I mean, it's not even like our own opinion. Like, we're just assuming that everyone's just angry and upset. I mean, you can go on Twitter and just find.
Tweets.
Yeah, you could go on Twitter and just find. I mean, I saw one. I forget who the player was, and you know, I'm sorry for not writing that down. But I mean, it was just full scorched earth. Like,
I have one here.
Like, it was the worst thing that had ever happened in this dude's life. It's like, man, this is my livelihood.
I'm not gonna pretend like I know this guy. Loiber. He is a Heroes pro though, and he says, "F you, honestly, working hard for 6 months with new fantastic teammates for this shit. Radio silence for weeks. I sent multiple emails and all I got back was that they are working on finalizing the details." And then again, the first time anyone involved heard about this was when the whole world found out. Just like that. I mean, yeah, these are guys that you built relationships. They've built lives around this. And I just think this could happen to any esport out there.
And it has. I mean, you could look.
You're going to see this happen more often. This is not going to be a, like, there's already articles out today about a correction happening in the esports market that people are anticipating taking place. And this is, again, because of lack of revenue. Money is being made in different areas, but not necessarily as much from an esports segment. If a team is bringing in, the example I saw of that. Well, the valuations and the revenue need to add up, right? So if a team is being valued like Cloud9 at $200-300 million, like, you should be bringing in a good chunk of change, but it's not necessarily as equal as it is to the investments because there's so much hype around it. So naturally, you will have a market correction. You will have layoffs. You're going to have it normalize a little bit. It doesn't mean it's going to drop and tank and not exist, but there is a high right now in the market. And, you know, the only thing coming is going to be for some of it to die off, for some of these teams to be a little bit more responsible with how many games they get into, how much money they invest in these products. So it's just normal that it's going to come. And I think this is just the start of it. I think you'll see a lot more early next year.
And I know we've talked about on the show too, like with the Optic Gaming layoffs, right? And how, like, oh, they're cutting off streamers and people thought they were freaking out. Well, no. In reality, you probably don't ever have to pay streamers money to sponsor your team, right? Or at least the money that they probably were paying them. There was obviously more money spent in esports for certain organizations, not all, right? I'm sure some of them are very responsible, but you do have those guys who just got the big investments and spent money probably in stupid ways. So yes, I completely agree that there's a correction coming. But my point here is that you don't have to be Overwatch League or Fortnite or Counter-Strike to survive in esports. I just think you also need developers that care. I do think that there should be, you know, kind of lower tier esports for the foundation of the whole scene itself. And I think shame on Blizzard for the way they handled this. That being said, if you want to fly us out to like Overwatch League or BlizzCon, I mean, I totally am 100% agreeing with you on this decision. But no, I mean, it sucks, right? And maybe it sucks a little bit too because I enjoyed Heroes of the Storm, and it's kind of weird for them to ask for still having support when you've just publicly announced that you're putting your game down.
Yeah. And it's not even like they're killing off the game. The game's still going to be there, but for people like me, you, Anuj, we like playing games that are also an esport. It's what we talk about every week. It's what we love, right? And the fact that this isn't going to be an esport anymore is like, it's hard. It's a tough pill to swallow for us.
When it probably won't change my playtime on this particular game as much, but yeah, I mean, I get what you're saying.
What's 0 - 0?
Because, you know, there was a time where I did play this game in a league, right? It was kind of like a rec league. It was chair league is what it was called. But me and my buddies did play Heroes of the Storm in a competitive mindset. And it's just kind of like, it's weird because with this type of game, it's weird how our minds have shifted because of esports, right? It's almost like, well, what's the point of playing this if I know there's not even a competitive scene, right? If I know, even in a shot in hell, that there's a chance to see that skill curve, right? And my brain has a hard time playing games for fun anymore. And maybe I can blame esports for that. Maybe it's just how I've always been. But it's hard to see the game moving on with any type of, like, for sure the fan base isn't going to increase now. Like, the only way you get nowadays is esports. Yeah, I think, like I said, this was just the first before they, you know, saying, hey, we're just going to leave this the way it is for the people who still want to play, but it's about it for Heroes of the Storm. So it sucks, but hey, it's what happens. It's what happens when you're a small game in a big pool of developers. Let's get into some e-news, shall we? We already talked a lot about the Counter-Strike stuff going on. I did want to bring up Capcom. Capcom Cup ended up yesterday. as, I'm going to mispronounce these names, I know it, forgive me. It was two Japanese players that fought each other. You have Gachikun. I think that's how you say it, is Gachikun. Ended up defeating Itabashi Zangief in the finals. You know, there was a bracket reset. That's always exciting. There were also a handful of timeouts, though. That's not so much exciting. I want KOs, right? I want action. I want big fights, but it's whatever. It was still exciting. So that wraps up Capcom for or Street Fighter V for this year. You had the Rainbow Six. Oh, look at Brett's wife made an appearance on Twitch.
She said, "Don't look at me."
Well, too, how can I not in those pajamas? In Rainbow Six, you had the United States Nationals wrap up. Rogue defeated Evil Genius 2-1. Fun fact here, Evil Genius was actually playing with their coach subbing in. Also fun fact, he was also a player, though, like 3 months ago. So it's not like that crazy of a concept for him to step up and play. But nonetheless, it's always interesting to see that. I forgot to get the results for this, but Don't Park on the Grass wrapped up. That was Smash Brothers' first big tournament for the year for Ultimate. Did you watch any of this, Anuj?
I did not.
Very.
I was busy playing Smash.
It was very interesting to watch because I was expecting to watch and like seeing, okay, I'm just going to see all these same. I just want to see the cookie cutter pros, right? Like, what do the pros use for their top heroes? They all use something different, which I guess with a roster of like 74, it's expected.
You're going to see that, yeah. But there's going to be a lot of like top tier characters.
Yeah. So you had MVD getting first place with Snake. Assam ended up getting second with Pikachu. Kongo got with Donkey Kong got third. So very big, big variety and not maybe what you were expecting. Just going
the crazy
the
thing
tier.
There is Snake has been rated in most people's lowest tier. For most really? Of those tier lists that you see come out, Snake has been rated like really low. So
see, and I know Pikachu's been kind of rated high. So it's
yeah,
we're still in that phase of leveling out, right?
There's sure. out of meta.
You got to have that.
There's no meta yet.
Yeah, there's no meta. The meta's still wide open. So we'll see. We'll see. And this was the first tournament. There wasn't even like Zero wasn't even at this tournament, right? You still didn't have the top pros being there. Keeping
Hungrybox announced he is I don't know if you wrote this in the show notes or not, so I'm going to throw it out there. But Hungrybox announced he's going to be competing in Ultimate.
Did he?
Yeah.
I know he's going to be at the event here in Arlington, but he's going to
be hosting. Yeah, he's doing both. He said he's going to be competing in Ultimate and Melee this year.
Okay. All right. So, I think a lot of the pros are going that route. Mango's been playing it a lot. He's been enjoying it.
And I watched HBox play a little bit, and it seems like the mechanics are still kind of the same, right, for Jigglypuff. Both games, just as movement and stuff like that, so I guess it's maybe not that big of a deal for him. Maybe I don't know, it's just my quick observation.
We'll see. I'm really fascinated to see how those Melee pros compete in the other one, so we'll see. Keeping in the fighting game community, did Anuj just go MIA or his room just get dumped?
No. It just blacked. Hold on. Just go ahead. Keep going.
I'm like, what happened to Anuj? His webcam just went dark. Very unprofessional to stop down the show, but I was just worried about my friend. So I just didn't know if he was just about to get murdered. It's keeping in the FGC, though. And for Evo Japan coming up here, again, keeping in weird announcements. They said that no Dragon Ball FighterZ or Smash Ultimate will be played at Evo Japan. That is a huge, huge blow for their debut event in Japan. But Nintendo and Bandai both said, not going to happen, buddy. Not going to be able to play our games. So huge, huge disappointment. I'm sure the guys over at Evo are very not happy considering those are like the two biggest games right now. If you recall, Dragon Ball FighterZ was their main game last year. That was the game they ended with. So not good that they're not there, but they're still going to have a community events, and I'm sure it will still be relevant. It's just it goes to show, man, sometimes these developers are just dumb.
Just want to be like, what the hell are you doing, dude?
Yeah, like, they better have something planned that same weekend. Maybe Nintendo's doing their own thing or something, but man, you have free publicity here for your games and you're just not going to take it. Riot Games confirmed that their company COO, Scott Gelb, has been suspended 2 months for workplace misconduct. I don't know if any of you have been keeping up with the Riot Game drama going on, but...
No, I haven't.
A lot of Me Too stuff happening there. Me Too stuff happening. Which I'm sure, if we pull the curtain back, some of these orgs ran by young bucks back in the day and everything. Who knows? But good on... I mean, I say good on Riot for doing something. They've known about it the whole time, right? So it's one of those things where it's like, should I pat you on the back or should I say it should have happened earlier? So... But there's that. Oh, no. Okay, hold on. Laptop froze. Anuj, you broke my laptop.
Did I? Hey, you, okay, so while Tim is,
we're doing this, fill in showtime for me.
Big news. Counter-Strike released an update today. For those of you that are OGs, these are true OGs, okay? Not like your first Fortnite skin OG. These are like true OGs. The 10-year coin is finally in the game. Ooh. So if you have an active account and have had Counter-Strike on your account for 10 years, if you load up CS today, you will notice you have the 10-year coin. And I'm proud to be a member of that family. So I'm quite excited to finally...
I have not logged on, but I definitely have been there for 10 years, so...
Your Steam account's 10-year-old?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. Yeah, good. Definitely. I will definitely have 10 years. Shoot. You could probably get me on the whole time if you really wanted to. Except for I haven't had this... I've had this Steam account for 10 years.
My Steam account is 1 week dated from the day Steam released.
Really?
So it's 5 days after Steam release, this account was created.
So we'll just go ahead and story time for now while my computer wants to unfreeze. Me and my brother shared an account for the longest time. So my older brother actually has our original Steam account. And then we finally started buying our own games. So I got my own account and did my own thing. So I don't know how long that's been after. Oh, Alchemist said he tested the Steam beta. That's how you know someone's old.
Damn.
That's how you know someone's old. Have you ever done the whole fun activity of looking at your Steam number, like your Steam account number? I forgot how you do it.
Yeah, you can go look up your Steam ID.
Some of the lower ones actually sell for money. Like if you get old Steam accounts and everything like that, they actually sell for money. Like if they're in like the lower digits, it's kind of crazy. Oh no, not my Steam. I don't know. We won't figure this live on the show though, because obviously I forgot my password to Steam because for whatever reason it doesn't save. But look at that. Alchemist said his is a 5-digit but made on day one. So that's what I'm saying. Like I think that 5-digit code might be worth money. Like people just want that code. Like they just want to say they have like a early one. But that's neither here nor there because my computer is unfrozen. So that just about does it for episode 135 of The Center Ring. I thank you all for listening. Whether you skipped around or listened to the whole thing, thank you. I love you. Again, we will not be doing a show next week, just with the holidays and the timing and everything. Just we decided to make this an extra long episode and talk up more and enjoy the holidays. So, and you should do the same. Hope you enjoyed this episode. Hit us up on Twitter. Let us know what you thought about it at The Center Ring. Our website, tcr.gg, will have all of our social media links there. Join our Discord. Be part of the conversation, of course. That's always a fun thing to do. We do stream on Twitch. If you watched us on today's show, I appreciate it. Amburgers joined us in the chat. Alchemist joined us in the chat. RT Firefly, thank you for following. Appreciate it. We stream Mondays, 8:30. Oh, look at that. Busboom's in the chat as well. Can't forget about Busboom.
Always got a beer in his hand.
Hopefully everyone enjoyed our Christmas gifts. If not, there's no return receipt. Sorry about that. But we will be back in 2 weeks. Enjoy Christmas. Enjoy the holiday. For Anuj, for Brett, I'm Tim. We'll see you later.